Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Couple things for you today. Going to talk about something I've been speaking of recently, where just out of the blue, I find somebody around me talking about the medical holocaust, that talking about something that backs up the medical holocaust I've been discussing lately. And then two, how it must be that some institutions know this underneath. And what does that imply? So first, I've discussed in recent episodes about the heart valve problem. I don't know if I'm on instinct or what on this, but the heart valve problem, remember initially it was myocarditis, pericarditis, some swelling of the heart membrane. We knew it was bad for the cardiovascular system. But now every time you turn around, you're talking about heart valve problems in young people. Well, in a number of people, that think of how protected that system is. It used to be so, it should be incredibly rare. Among the systems most protected by the body in its prioritization, this miraculous prioritization, brain and heart. That's it. I mean, the heart's going bad, then nothing's getting oxygenated. And of course, the brain has to be good. So normally that should be the last place anything bad happens. If something is happening there, it must be a buildup of many, on average, a buildup of many years of damage. And therefore, it shouldn't be in 20s and 30s, except in a very rare congenital type issue. But here we are. We have a medical holocaust of not just, quote, pericarditis, quote, myocarditis, but heart valves going bad. And either that's literal, or as I discussed in previous episodes, it's because the artery pasta is stopping the integrity of the seals on the heart valve because it's getting in the way because it grows all over the arterial system. You listen to my previous episodes on that. But as I've asked directly one person recently, bring this up. Other than that, I've not asked anybody directly. Although I have shared the ideas with other people. And as soon as I share the ideas, one was, the person says, yeah, that's funny you say that. Prior to a recent procedure, they did the routine health check and said, do you have something congenital going on with your heart? No. Okay, well, we see some weird stuff with your heart, like maybe your valve or something. And then the same guy said, and the funny thing is my brother just had a procedure. They did the same routine check before and said the same type of thing. Now, these folks are in their 60s, but they had never had any such diagnosis. And then I've said that I tell another person, I said, well, do you know anything like that? And they said, yeah, actually, my nephew can't run anymore. He's in his 20s. He can't run anymore. They say he's having a heart valve problem. It's backflowing. It's not providing enough pressure. If he undergoes any kind of stress, the heart has to work too hard. It beats really fast, which of course makes sense because the point of the heart is to pump oxygenated blood. And so with each pump, it's losing, it doesn't have enough pressure to push it out. It's going to have to try to pump more. And then they're going to call that an arrhythmia or something. So anyway, I'm at a Thanksgiving event. And this latest example is that about 25 people in the house. I'm mostly helping my mother with a computer issue, but I can hear some of the people chatting. And there's a young woman relative who has a strap on, like this big heavy strap, and it's around her upper torso, and it has handles on the front, so it's, you know, the height of her sternum, two handles on the front. It's clearly like the type of thing you'd see in a nursing home or knowing you're going to need to move somebody. So she has these because she's had some kind of episodes. These are handles to, if she falls out, they're so ready for her to do this and expect it so much at this point that she is just she's just wearing the straps. Okay. And then I hear her talking about, yeah, that's the area the hospital does, you know, heart surgery and heart valve stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, my instincts are right on. So my sister ends up talking to her more directly and I'm closer to them. Sure enough, she says, yeah, they say my heart valves are bad. Guys, it is a cardiovascular holocaust. It is a medical holocaust. So the other thing I want to say is this. But by the way, this will come out. This will come out. Look in the prospectuses. We will see, just like the funeral home industry, that this is just increased just significantly. It skyrocketed. We're talking same idea as the stillborn stuff that's in the died suddenly. We're not in a one every 10 year. We're not in a one every 50 year event. We're not one every, 100 year event. It's not this, whatever, 5 Delta. It's a 24 Delta or something. We're in a one every 1,000 year event. If, and I just can never think of this term, the adjusters who for insurance has a figure that this would be a one every 800 year event. At least they probably can't even measure it as to the risk of having to pay out for stem, a heart valve replacement, or the open heart surgery that's necessary. Now, before I go to this next thing, which is that some institutions must know, although this is related to that, cardiology departments must know. They must know, just like in Died Suddenly, when a nurse from Fresno said, hey, they put an email out that says a lot more stillborns. Am I right? And they said, yeah, expect more. Expect 20, plenty more, without saying how or why, or again, knowledge without wisdom, data without analysis. So we used to have 2 to 3 every few months. Now we had like 24 in a month. I mean, go there for, but it was that type of ratio, some crazy, insane ratio of all of a sudden the stillborns, and you know, some fetuses are having heart attacks in the womb. So same idea. I mean, this is just a insurance adjuster's nightmare as far as the likelihood of the event, and therefore, you know, how you must calculate your risk to have to pay for it. So the cardiologist must know. At first, even just by the mayor numbers, they're closest to the numbers. There are cardiologists who, unless they've been given NDAs, which would be entirely illegal, but in our censorship world, who knows? Maybe that's what they're supposed to do. You can see the artery pasta when you do open heart surgery, but you do not get to discuss it. Sign this NDA. You know, I mean, it's possible. After all, people had to get vaccinated or get fired until the unconstitutional president, his unconstitutional actions were decided as such. But even then, the Supreme Court found half of it to be okay. The federal worker, the extra regulated people, just not the all employees of companies over 100. So entirely an overstep, but they let the one be alone. So if they have to be forced to get a vaccination, that's where we are. And in the censorship, big tech tyranny of information shutdown where we are, or, you know, do cardiologists have to sign NDAs that say, yeah, you're going to see some interesting stuff in blood vessels. You do not discuss that. You don't discuss it. After all, Pfizer money, right? I don't know exactly what the overlap would be there, but who the hell knows? You know, they're all in the same circles. But cardiologists, either through mere numbers of all these readings of, why is everybody having this weird back pressure situation? Why is everybody having these, what we would call arrhythmias, where the heart has to work too hard to do the same thing? All this Doppler, you know, kind of pressure readings without having to go into the system. These are a lot more than we ever had. So they have to know that in cardiology departments. And also then they have to know it because some of them are doing open heart surgery and some of them are doing the valve replacements. So are these people have been to medical school. Do they not really see there must be some significance to being something being 5 to 10 to 50 to 100 times more frequent than it used to be? They must know, right? And then let alone the ones that actually go in towards the heart, some of them are seeing this artery pasta. Plain and simple, they are seeing it. So some cardiologists know, and that means they're now in on it if they don't open their mouth. But it will come out in like the prospectus or, you know, the earnings report or what's expected or as far as what later earnings. And they'll, in very vague ways, talk about how business is booming and they expect business to be further booming. And if nothing else, even the mere data of the earnings versus previous years should basically prove it, right? Okay, second half of what I want to talk about is that, speaking of some institutions knowing, now it is one thing for me to just say, no way, I'm taking that. Not, no. If you believe you're going to get that shot inside me, then you better also not believe that the Second Amendment is a real thing. Because one of those two things is happening, and I'm going to tell you which one. It's the second one, the Second Amendment. All right. So, but that's just me. But think about it. I'm not worth any massive amount of money to anybody. I'm not a massive investment inherently, where if I have a health issue, it affects the value of the organization, the entity, the financial franchise. But in some cases, certain key people are huge investments and huge pivotal risks, risk pivots. So right off the top of your head, what is it? Airline pilots and professional franchises and in sports. All right. So let's go airline pilot. I'm sorry. Let's go professional franchises first. Professional athletes. What is more important to your, if you're in Miami and you have the once in every 50 years unique skill set of Tyreek Hill, than his cardiovascular system as to your $10 to $20 million a year investment? Not much. So I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I saw him from the first year making Alex Smith look dynamic, and that's a miracle all by itself. One thing about Tyreek Hill, not that this isn't the case with any of the receivers, but just as the best example, is he not only has the sprint speed, which is heart rate different level, but also the endurance to be able to do it again and again and again, along with a bunch of other unique skill sets. But that's what you'd notice. You go, okay, you've got fast guys, track guys, the punt return guys. You got this guy who's just as fast, but is in a play. Every single play, he can blow the lid off the top of the defense if people use him correctly. There has been no athlete cardiovascularly like him, at least in the last 50 years of the NFL. I mean, maybe a Darryl Green, who knows. But very, very, very rare. And if he starts going down because he's huffing and puffing, that means his value goes down. And any number of your stars, same thing. Someone is trying to rush a pat, Joey Bosa, or, you know, let's see, any cornerback you can think of, or running quarterback. All those guys, even linemen, though not as much, are not sprinting. It's probably not quite the same thing, but that's still a lot of work each play to have to block a big man for 3 or 4 seconds. Their cardiovascular system is the limiting factor of whether or not they continue to be good players. And so we know this artery pasta to be a thing. If you don't, then you just look into it. So you can just go off this assumption. If that's true, are they willing to just be deniers just for the politics of it? Because underneath, they have $15 million a year athletes that are making their franchise successful or not. You now have contracts in the $100 to $300 million range. Do you think that behind the scenes for these organizations that have to be mouthpieces, they literally have to lie now? Do you think that if they have people who are giving them advice on health of players, that they wouldn't have mentioned this? Do you see the plausibility of the idea that, well, you guys can say what you want, NFL, but behind the scenes, Tyreek Hill's cardiovascular system must be protected, or our investment is crap. Never mind, of course, that he could die, which should be their first, their first concern. But regardless of that, if you just go cold-blooded, no pun intended, just purely the investment point of view, would they not have a sense of this? Something that is so important to the health of their players and their investments, as whether somebody's cardiovascular system could go bye-bye. And if they do have a sense, that means that the systems, the organizations have to say one thing and then do another to the detriment of us, because they're trying to be mouthpieces, because now we must be a political mouthpiece and approve the biggest important narrative first and foremost. We can't just shut the hell up and be a sports franchise. No, no, no. We've got to show some kind of political verve in certain ways, but only in one direction outside of just the usual general patriotism thing. So these organizations have to say one thing or say nothing in some cases, but on the other hand, completely ignore the narrative and or the rules. These organizations, I guarantee you, if there's any vaccine policy or rule or mandate in their organizations, have to ignore it. I believe that we know that a smart franchise would say, okay, that's fine that you say that we all got to stay up to our dates, up to date, but there's no way in hell we're doing it. We cannot. We will have athletes dying on the field. We have athletes falling out on the field. We've seen that around the world, and we are not going to do it. So this is how lies and mandates and public funding turn into the rest of society having to be liars. It turns the market of truth becomes a black market. Okay, well, we know what we really have to do. We just won't transact that on the open market. We'll make the market of truth on a black market, and our actions according to that have to be on the black market. They can't be on the up and up. You know, when the Soviet Union was failing, the success of it was in the black market, because that's where it had to be, because a socialist system, a communist system, does not work economically. And so the black market thrives. And now we have a black market of truth of it and of information. And those in the know in the NFL and other places where the cardiovascular health of their key employees is of particular importance, know that, well, I know that you've got to say this, unfortunately, if they'd step forward and just be the arbiters of truth, it could save us all. But if you don't want to go there, you could go ahead and say it. But we know what we must do behind the scenes. We must fake the paperwork. All right. We must give a saline solution. We must make sure the messenger RNA is heated up plenty, so it's basically just goop by the time we give it to our athletes. So you can say all you want, and then behind the scenes, the emperor has no clothes, and we know that he has no clothes, so we're just simply going to do something else. So that's where we are, guys. We're in a medical holocaust. We're in a cardiovascular system holocaust right now. And where's the other place that this is incredibly important? I believe I mentioned it briefly. Yeah. The airlines, the pilots. By the way, if it seems like my short-term memory is bad, it's like, did I mention that earlier? It's because sometimes I do two or three episodes and go, no, let me re-record that. Sometimes I do really well with that. Other times I'm like, no, let me re-record it. You probably heard the cat meowing in the background. I don't really feel like keeping him out of the room. And sometimes that frustrates me, for instance. It's like, hey, just know I'm human. I'm not just a robot. I am not a robot. I'm no AI. Even though I sound like Spock all the time, I do have, I do nurture and have cats and other things that are soft about my life. I'm not just a truth robot. And so, yeah, you'll hear cats, and sometimes that'll stop me. That's one of the reasons I go, did I say this? So I did mention airline pilots earlier. No, again, the cardiovascular system of a key employee is pivotal to your organization. Pivotal. You can't be having your airline pilots die in flight. Now, I guess that's also why there are co-pilots, but even so. So the airlines, to the extent they have to be any kind of a mouthpiece for Big Pharma or have a supposed policy, unless and until, you know, most of the leadership of Pfizer gets hung by a tree through due process, of course, to the extent they have to, you know, be a mouthpiece or, you know, bow to Big Pharma and say, of course, we have the policy for our pilots to be, quote, the safest. Of course, they're up on their boosters. Until then, there's, I'm sure, at least one airline, if not others, that say, yeah, we kowtow to that. But there's no way in hell we're going to risk our pilot dying. And so we're going to fake the paperwork. we're going to heat up the messenger RNA so that it's too warm and it's broken down and won't do anything. Or we're going to give a saline solution. But one way or another, we are not putting our pilots at risk. And here's a worse thing. Think about this. What if behind the scenes, because we're no longer in the empire of truth, we're in the exact opposite. Kim mentioned this, and I'm like, no way. I had not heard this one. Is it possible that they just didn't have enough doses? See, we've never tried to have that many doses of anything. So is it possible that some of the doses just simply weren't anything? They already were saline solution. Have you ever seen some of the data on why there were many of the deaths only came from some lots, you know, like a small percentage of the lots? It's like, is it possible that some of these lots were just, they really couldn't make enough of it? I mean, I can imagine the messenger RNA being the first time Pfizer's done it. They've never done it successfully. Listen to a couple episodes about idiot Borla, the CEO of Pfizer. They've never done it successfully. Then how are we to be so sure that all of a sudden, after they've never done it successfully, that they're able to manufacture millions and hundreds of millions of doses? So it's an interesting consideration. But what I was going to get to with that is, oh my gosh, if they really let themselves cross that threshold, how far is it removed since we are in the lying regime, the regime of a president who did not get elected, the regime of a president who does unconstitutional thing after unconstitutional thing and is still sitting there in the office? How far is it removed and still supporting Big Pharma? And so is the last one. Still supporting Big Pharma. No, it's the best. It's the greatest. It's the safest. In fact, it's safer than any other vaccine's ever been. It's the biggest miracle ever. Doing it faster, it turns out, is the best thing. Doing it faster on things we've never, ever done before, the best thing. That's another reason, by the way, Borla's book is called Moonshot. Yeah, we never got a capsule to even land right in on Earth. Oh, it doesn't even have something to let it land on a surface that would give any directional stability, and never got it to successfully do it on any of our tests. But suddenly, all of a sudden, on each and every mission, it's perfect. But that's another episode. Highlight of that is we may or may not have gone to the moon, but I am absolutely, absolutely 100% certain. Listen, don't shut it off. Listen. And maybe I'll breach this sometime. We definitely faked some of the footage. Definitely and obviously. And I'll give you a teaser on that. It's no more than, in some cases, you can see the footage that is literally against physics. Literally against force equals mass times acceleration. Literally, it is against physics. I'm not talking about the shadows. Some of those are really wrongly analyzed and some of the other things. But there is some of those that's not, people exaggerate those and they're wrong. And I don't have in my head when the shadows are good evidence. But I can tell you that there's another case where force equals mass times acceleration and yet doesn't follow it. Some of the footage was fake. So that was a quick aside. But yeah, Borla, moonshot. So is it possible that since we know Borla is such a seventh level of hell or whatever the lowest one is, a demon, then that the same company that may have just put in placebo shots, saline shots, among all of their lots, because they'd never even manufactured to that extent, how far removed would it be for them to just silently come? Because remember, the CIA tries to employ companies all the time, and it's behind the scenes, it's in a back room. The NSA does too. Tries to employ, hey, you'll be an insider. You're important. We believe in you. Are you a patriot? For them to say, listen, NFL, listen, American Airlines, we have a deal with you, okay? You do not have to give this shot to your pilots, but it must appear so. And so we are going to give you saline lots. It'll be totally trackable, but we guarantee you, here are the lot numbers. You can check them yourselves. You will get these lot numbers. The indication that is saline only will be this indication. And please, if you have any doubts, have your people just test for saline and a few of, you know, across the different ones that we give you. You will have them, you get your shots in a controlled, systematic way in-house, and we can guarantee you they will get saline. Would that be the strangest thing in the world? Because one wonders, it's been a year and a half ago that athletes were dying all over the pitch and elsewhere, and yet no American athlete has fainted on the field that I'm aware of, fainted on the arena that I'm aware of. So it's interesting, right? Like, we know people are falling out because their cardiovascular systems are being filled by white fibrous tissue clotting, long white fibrous tissue clotting. And therefore, the oxygen cannot efficiently be sent to the tissues. So how is it that American athletes in the peaks of their cardiovascular demands of professional sports have not fallen out? Interesting, right? Just interesting. But yeah, it will come out. Okay, the next place to look, and I might do an episode on this, is just like the prospectuses and the reports of certain industries. They won't say it, but the numbers will bear it out. Perfect example being on Died Suddenly. They won't say it, but the numbers will bear it out. The insurance numbers on stillbirths will say this is a 1 in every 800-year event, but no one will say what the event is. You know, a nurse in Fresno will say, geez, we used to have 2.5, 3 stillborns, basically one a month. I can't remember exact numbers. And suddenly we have 10 times that in a month. And then we get an email that says, hey, so everybody, just thought we'd mention the stillbirth thing. Yeah, it's increased a lot and expect it to stay that way. But nobody does the dot connecting behind the scenes. So we're going to see it. We're going to see it in the business information where somebody wants to say how great business is. We're going to see it in some kind of Wall Street stuff about any number of and or the building of more of these cardiovascular surgery departments and stuff. Or we're going to see it in the prospects of, you know, the people who manufacture artificial heart valves. The numbers are going to be there because this is a medical holocaust. And it's then whether or not we connect the dots. So I implore you, just like I'm doing, but in however you can, connect the dots. You know what? Call up your congressman and say, start connecting the dots. We're having a cardiovascular. Listen, worst thing is he thinks you're a kook. He or she thinks you're a kook because you're just calling in and, you know, you can always leave a message off of ours. But on the other hand, maybe you're making them aware and say, you know, just go look at the prospects. Look at the companies that are associated. Look at their business. Look at their dollars. Go watch Died Suddenly. Go listen to The Scales of Truth. It's there. We are in a medical holocaust, a cardiovascular event holocaust. It's there. Okay, guys, that's it for me. I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and hopefully you did not hear anybody talking about their heart valves going bad. But I almost guarantee if you're in a big group, I mean, what's one of the first things people do? They talk about, oh, what's going on with you? Well, you'll never believe. I mean, a big health event is news individually. That's the type of thing you will bring up. What you should do, I told, and then I'm not on social media anymore. On LinkedIn, I see, yeah, somebody shared and commented on, we just lost our 25-year-old, or was she even 25? And it wasn't anybody I knew, but it's like, sure enough, go, you know, Stu Peters has done such a good job but Died Suddenly. Go give him a tip. Tell him stories on his Telegram or wherever he is. I don't know where all of his channels are. I use Telegram, but I don't use it as a personality, but I am on Telegram. Mostly anonymously there, but go tell them there. Go tell them about the events, because when you have specifics, it's still quote anecdotal. Because 1 degree removed, they're like, "Oh, really? Oh, we're supposed to believe that surely Johnson says her cousin, who's only 47, suddenly has heart valve problems. Yeah, it's, quote, anecdotal, but at some point, the numbers add up. I saw somebody else who maybe is on TikTok going, guys, and I said this before, too, in different episodes, you don't have to wait for someone to compile numbers and data and finally admit it sometimes to know what's going on. I mean, detectives don't do that, right? They have to go with what they have and go, geesh, I don't know. Seems like this is probably what happened based on enough information. Once the anecdotal, not group information, starts to become overwhelming enough, we have to start using our brains as to what is happening. And I'm telling you, I didn't hear about heart valve stuff. Neither did you. I mean, that's again, the most protected system in the body, but short of maybe the brain. I mean, if the heart's not working, then everything else is going bye-bye, because you have to oxygenate the body, including the brain. And so that is the prioritized system in the body. So what are the chances that something so fundamental to the working of it, like when the chamber fills, one valve has to close, the other one has to open, so it can fill when the chamber is expanding from the oxygenated blood from the lungs. And it must fill well. If the other valve opens, it doesn't fill well. What could be more fundamental than that? Getting a full chamber of oxygenated blood, and then even worse, or equally as bad, I suppose, is that once you fill that entire chamber, which is a miracle of miracles as far as the amount, the size, the volume of blood it's going to deliver, and the ratio of oxygenation and all that. Once you fill it with blood, what could be more important with when you do the contraction to push it out into the system, that it all goes in one direction. It all goes out, not backwards, not flushing backwards. Nothing's more vital than that. So imagine the prioritization that is put, that the body system, the miracle of life, the miracle of biology, puts on making sure that fundamental aspect works. I mean, you talk about fundamental. What is fundamental? Just again, back to our analogy of, I hate to say it, but the fill tank on your toilet. You got one job. And if the flap valve is not sealing, it's fundamentally not functioning, right? You can't flush if the water is not filling up there. It must check valve down. I don't know, that's gravity check valve, but still, it operates in the same fashion as a check valve. Flow does not go up because water doesn't go against gravity. And usually check valve means it opens in one direction and closes in another. But, you know, in that sense, when you pull it up, then it closes. It operates like a check valve. It keeps flow from happening in one direction. So nothing could be more fundamental and primary than the valves of a heart being able to seal. And yet here we have. There's zero possibility that this is natural. Zero. You guys know this, but for some people who maybe heard this for the first time, just emphasizing a bit. Okay, guys, went a lot longer than I thought, and now my cat's up here. Maybe he'll say something. What do you think, buddy? Are you going to say something to the people? Hello? You going to say anything? Okay, he didn't. I thought maybe he'd meow right there for you. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Like this episode. Follow the podcast. I usually put my email down in the details of the episode, but certainly it's on the podcast description. Tell me about some of the other events that, you know, you're aware of. People who are like, oh, well, they thought they were healthy, but certainly they're young. And now, yeah, heart valve problems, quote, heart valve problems. Okie dokie. I'll chat you guys later. Hope you have a great extended weekend.